Man, what a morning it has been. A good time of worship. And Pastor Frank already talked about this in the bulletin. It does list everything as worship. All the different things we've done as worship. The singing, the offering, the prayers, and the word. Because our very lives are worship, and all of it needs to be worship to God. And I'm just excited for this. As we move on, and into things. There are all different kinds of fears in the world. I know. I have 8 pages of different fears. They're all called phobias. There is claustrophobia. Anybody? The fear of confined spaces. How about arachnophobia? Fear of spiders. How about triskaidekaphobia? The fear of number 13. I was born on the 13th, so that... I don't have a fear of that one. How about this one? Attichophobia. A-T-Y-C-H-I phobia. Attichophobia. The fear of what? The fear of macaroni. No, it's the fear of failure. It's amazing, the fear of failure. The list goes on and on and on of all different kinds. Some are easy to find, some are not. You can look through them and see if one of your fears classifies in there and stuff. But there are all kinds of fears. Some people have aerophobia. The fear of air. No, they're scared to death of flying. Think of it. Yeah. Do I have stage fright? No, but I am definitely scared when every time I get up here. If you want to, you're welcome to. Imagine putting yourself inside a cylinder tube. Launching that thing at 150 miles an hour, climbing to an altitude of 30,000 plus feet, and then traveling at between 400 to 600 miles an hour. It's kind of a bit much, isn't it? That's what you do when you get into an airplane. Reminds me of a story that was told years ago about a flight of a four-engine jet. And the flight became even lengthier when the co-pilot comes on the intercom and he says, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We have lost power to our number 2 engine. So we're going to be about an hour late getting to our destination. We're sorry for the delay." About an hour later, the pilot comes on the intercom and he says, "Well, folks, we have now lost power to our number 4 engine. But nothing to worry about. We still have 2 engines that work. And we'll make it. However, we're going to be a couple hours late." A short time later, the now nervous co-pilot announces, "Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to inform you, but we have lost our number 1 engine. Now, our plane is built to fly on just 1 engine, so we'll be okay. However, we are projecting a 3-hour delay to our destination. We are so very sorry for the inconvenience." With a nervous cabin now coming to life, one passenger exclaimed, "If we lose that last engine, we're going to be up here all day long." Thank you. I know if you had a fear of flying, that probably didn't help you much. Fear is a very real thing. Max Lucado writes, "Fear, it seems, has taken a 100-year lease on the building next door and set up shop." First blank there would be fear. Colin will get up here in just a second. Next one. There we go. "Fear, it seems, has taken a 100-year lease on the building next door and it has set up shop." We have financial fears. We have occupational fears. We have relational fears. We have personal fears, and we have safety fears that are both personal and national. Now, today, we begin a 6-part series called Get Your Feet Wet. Our text for the entire series is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And as I said last week, it is the story of Peter walking on the water. And it has come to represent in many people's thinking the tension and the decision between fear and faith. And what we're going to do this morning is instead of me reading this scripture for you, we are going to watch a video which will show you the scripture as it takes place.
Son of God.
Well, there you have it. The story of Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. As I said, we'll spend the next 6 weeks there. But for today, the series, as we go through this, today's message is titled, The Call to Get Wet. And I want to concentrate on just verses 28 and 29 today. And you can follow along your Bibles if you want. You may put a mark there because we'll be going back there for the next 6 weeks. Or Colin, we'll put the words up here for you. And they read like this. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. What does this passage say? Yeah. If you have faith and pray, Jesus will save you. Exactly. It says that Peter asks Christ to tell Peter to come to him by walking on the water as proof of Jesus' identity. In the preceding verses, the disciples are scared to death at the sight of Jesus on the water, thinking that it was a ghost. But Jesus assures them that it is him and that it's not a ghost and to not be afraid. Well, Peter then makes this statement, which appears in our main text. And it is a statement. It's a declarative statement. It is a request, almost a command of Jesus to call him to come to him by walking on the water. Now, you might think it's a question. It is not a question. And it may appear to be a quest, but it is a command to Jesus. Tell me. Not ask me, nor should I, but tell me to come to you by walking on water. So what does this passage therefore mean? In the context of a very scary and fear-filled situation, it seems to mean that Peter is asking Jesus to tell him to do something that required an extreme act of faith. Only Peter asked to come to Jesus, not the other 11. Why? A couple of things come to my mind. First, our series main passage begins with the phrase immediately after this in verse 22. Immediately after what? What is the this that it refers to? Before the walking on the water, before all of this, what happens just before this? What? You got it. It's the feeding of the 5,000. The before this is in chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, which is the feeding of the 5,000, a miracle story. And it goes kind of like this. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves food to eat. That isn't necessary. You feed them. Impossible. We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Well then, bring them here. And a miracle took place. Then, immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. And then he goes off to pray. It seems to me that as we read further, that Jesus has another miracle planned, or at least a faith development exercise for his disciples. I just wonder if the conversation in the boat as they were heading was, can you believe that? Can you think of what was happening? They were probably just spending time talking about what they had just witnessed and what they had just seen. Maybe they were feeling good about being one of the boys. Then Jesus comes along several hours later and does this walking on the water thing. Scares them out of their wits. But only Peter says to Jesus, tell me to come to you. Why? He was asking for Jesus' trust. Brings me to my second thought. And it is one, what? There was a storm, yeah. They're in the middle of the storm. The boat, as you can see, the boat was rocking back and forth. They were afraid for their lives. All of a sudden, this ghost comes walking at them. It's Jesus. But here's my second thought. And it can't be substantiated in Scripture. It's only a hunch. 11 of the 12 looked at that situation with faces of fear. Peter looked at that situation with a face of faith. As I was working on this and began thinking about the faces of the 12. And I think, you know, we've probably always assumed that they had faces of fear. What does fear look like? I don't know. Fear is fear itself, that's right. So they had faces of fear written all over their face. And by the time Jesus showed up, I imagine they all did. Let's put it this way. In an intense movie scene, when people are facing a scary or fearful situation, doesn't it seem to be the case that almost always there's one whose face changes from fear to wide-eyed possibility, to faith? We can see the transformation right before our eyes, can't we? Think of E.T. Think of the initial fear of Elliot, giving way to wide-eyed wonder and amazement and hope. It drove him to believe in E.T. and the things that other people would not believe. I think this is what happens to Peter while he's in the boat. The face of fear gives way to the face of hope and faith. Confidence in Jesus, it takes root and it begins to grow. and it burst out of him with an extravagant demand. Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you by walking on the water. And I think that Jesus smiled. Yes, this is what I was hoping for. A proclamation of faith. An act of radical belief. One of them is finally starting to get it. But how then does that fit in with the Bible as a whole? Well, God was and is always calling people to him. He called the Israelites to follow him again and again and again and again. Jesus called the 12 to follow him. God called the Israelites to repentance and obedience. Jesus, he did the same thing. God calls us to do the same thing. God calls us to join him in building his kingdom. Now you might be asking, how do I use that in my life? Yes. You pray every morning, you pray every night, and you do as the Lord asks. Amen, we're done. That is right. That's how to do it. Listen to this. As each of us answers that question, how do I use this in my life? Think about this statement from John Ortberg, who was a writer. He wrote, "There is always a call. God asks an ordinary person to engage in an act of extraordinary trust, that of getting out of the boat." A couple of words to guide you as you think about this for a few moments. Trust and decision. Do you trust God at this point in your life? Do you? Mm-hmm. Yep. Trust God and follow him now. Do you really trust God? Do you really, really trust God? Do you really, 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 really? Well, you get the point. See, Peter began at some microcosmic second in this story to trust Jesus enough to say, "Tell me to come to you." You see, that is trust, and that is faith. But not everybody sees it that way. You may have picked up the line in there. Imagine this. Peter, what are you doing? Look at that idiot. Hey, get him back in the boat. There he goes again. I'm not leaving this boat even if I drowned. I'm not leaving this boat. What a stupid fool. There he goes again. That there is the sound of fear, isn't it? Yeah. Peter trusted Jesus enough and believed in Jesus and said, "Tell me, Jesus, to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter now has a decision to make. Trust and act and get out of the boat or stay in the boat. Boats wiggle in the water, don't they? Water is wiggly. It's fluid. It's always in motion, except when it's ice or steam. How did Peter get out of the boat? The text said he went over the side of the boat. I have a great deal of trouble seeing him gracefully, you know, exit the boat in the middle of that storm. Maybe he fell over the side and then he stood up and he's standing on the water. Maybe he stood at the bobbing prow of the boat and timed his first step off of the boat. Maybe he walked to the stern of the boat and timed his step off the side. We know that he did get out of the boat. And given our view of Peter, given the things that you might know about him over these years, he could have just jumped over and taken off walking. Peter was very impetuous and very impulsive. Now, What is the greatest threat to Peter once he's out of the boat? Failure. Drowning. That would be failure. He risked failure. But he made the decision to go over the side and go to Jesus. He started to walk on water. But then he failed. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. You and I have had and continue to have moments in which we have to decide whether or not to truly trust God and get out of the boat, in that way risking failure. Moses failed, King David failed, and Peter would fail again. Failure is a part of life. The late Jack Lemmon said, "Failure seldom stops people. What stops you is the fear of failure." There it is again, that word fear. That brings us back to our starting point, to the question, so what? There is always fear. God has an inexhaustible habit of asking people to do things that are scary to them. It may be fear of inadequacy, fear of failure, fear of God, which is theophobia. One way or another, there will be fear. Some people probably read this story and think that Peter was suicidal or crazy or nuts. And yes, there are those who claim God's will in bizarre and hurtful situations. But this is about clear and biblical trust and faith in God that does not make sense all the time. And it is scary. But Jesus calls us to get out of our boats of security, of fear, of contentment, because He has more for us and more for us to do for Him. And we do. And we will feel inadequate to the task, to the call. But what He wants is us and our willingness and our obedience. He will give us the power and ability as needed to step out of the boat and move forward in faith. Are you willing to get out of the boat this morning? Are you wanting to get out of the boat? Do you need to get out of the boat this morning? The disciples, they are paralyzed in the boat. The boat is fast becoming a dangerous place to be. Some of the boats that we are in these days are sometimes the unsafest place to be. Perhaps God's call to get out of the boat is a call to end a relationship or repair a current one. Perhaps God's call to get out of the boat is a call to change jobs and careers or be willing to make an adjustment of some kind in the one that you are in. Perhaps God's call to get out of your boat is to walk across the street or the lawn and begin a new relationship with a neighbor, or to renew an established one. Perhaps God's call to get out of your boat is to place a family member in God's hands and then step away and let God take over, or to go and seek reconciliation with the family member. Perhaps God's call to get out of your boat is to say yes to God and to decide to go into a new ministry of some kind, or to recommit yourself to serving an existing one. Maybe it's just to recommit yourself to God. Finally, perhaps God's call to get out of your boat is to say yes to missions or yes to ministry of some kind. If God is calling you to the mission field or to the ministry, you can run, but you cannot hide. Now, if you're filling it out there, you'll find that there are two blanks. One blank is for you to fill in. What is it that God is calling you to? What is it that you need to step out to? You can run, but you cannot hide. I know. I'm standing right here. Scared to death most of the time. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? Please do not resist His call to get out of the boat. Obey Him and follow Him where and as He leads you. He is calling each and every one of us. Come to me.